Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. Hi, Paul.
Hello, Mark. It's been a little while since you and I have been on the show together.
Yeah, we just came through a couple of shows you did with a different co-host. Now, who was that again?
Yeah, that was Mark Strizeski of Sound Planning over in Kirkland. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of took over those shows and put you to the side. My apologies.
You did well. No, I thought you did really well with those shows. Hey, people can listen to those, too, on your website at legacyandfaith.com.
That's right. All our podcasts are there. Mm-hmm. And so they can go back and listen to some of the past shows. We're going to do a little bit of a review today of what those shows were set up. So anyways, it's good to be back with you today.
Good to see you once again on a beautiful day as we're recording these shows.
Yep.
Really interesting discussion on the differences between Medicare, Medicaid, and you want to kind of review some of the territory we've been on because it is kind of complicated.
It is. And so the high level view of Medicaid then is that it's needed for someone who needs the aid. Okay, so Medicaid versus Medicare is the system that when you're 65, you sign up for governmental assistance for insurance. And so Medicaid starts because someone needs financial assistance. We don't have the financial wherewithal to support our own lives. Mm-hmm. And that can look as if it would be assistance with food, assistance with housing, and assistance with healthcare issues. So there's a myriad of governmental assistance programs that when you need the aid, because you don't have sufficient financial support for yourself, that society will step in and come to your assistance and stand next to you to make sure you get the proper aid.
And this can happen before 65, too.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good point. Mm-hmm. It's nice to know you were listening, so thank you so much. Yes, it can happen at any age. And so whether or not you have reached 65 is the Medicare system, but aid is appropriate and available regardless of your age, and it's dependent upon your financial income and whether or not you have any savings for yourself
as
a family.
Which you need to use first, and they do pretty extensive investigation to make sure that's the case.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And so it really is for those who do need assistance because we want to make sure as a societal value that we take care of those around us, mm-hmm. right? And so, and we can obviously see that in the Word of God, that this is certainly something that we want to lean into society to assist those who can't help themselves. Mm-hmm. But then we move over to the Medicare discussion, and that's really where my guest speaker over the past several weeks had been speaking. And so Medicare is the process where we have someone who has reached the age of 65 and now is available to sign up for Medicare. Now, Medicare is a, let's call it a right. It's a system mm-hmm. that everyone can go to the U.S. government and say, I'm now 65, so I need to sign up. As a matter of fact, it's actually a requirement that you signed up, as we've learned over the past weeks.
Right.
There's penalties and there's other consequences, actually lifetime consequences, if you don't meet those deadlines. Now, I'm not going to review all those. That's why the podcast would be great. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, go back, listen to the full series if you have questions concerning when to sign up, how to sign up, and all that. But really, it's the system of 65. We need to sign up for governmental.
Even if we're not going to use it. Sometimes we have better care on our own already.
Yeah. Specifically, we discuss those individuals mm-hmm. who, if I'm still working, then we can delay it.
Right.
But there are some tricks in there just to make sure that you're getting the proper insurance coverage around you. So again, head back to the podcast, listen to all those discussions that we had with Mr. Strizeski, and hopefully it's a wealth of knowledge to lead you into the right place and also the ways to communicate and contact him for his free services. Mm-hmm. I always like that word. Free isn't a bad service, is it?
No, we like it.
No, I
even though
really
it might bankrupt the country eventually.
But. Yeah, that's right. So those are some of the reviews of where we've been. We've been the discussion of Medicaid, and we talked about Medicare. But in the Medicare system, really the point that we wanted to get to was that there is a gap and really a lot of preconceived and ideas that are wrong about what Medicare will accomplish.
Okay.
And the big one for us that I want to come back to, because this will lead into kind of some of the estate planning discussions, is that if someone ends up needing long-term care, and in other words, they're not recovering, they have reached a place where the hospital stay or a doctor has now set kind of their limit of health. So we've set our new barometer of what your health recovery is going to be, but you still need assistance. So you're no longer able to go back home, take care of yourself. Medicare does not continue to be your insurance. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, what we find is a lot of individuals who are growing in age have this gap. And the gap is that they now need full-time assistance or even part-time assistance, and Medicare will not pay for it any longer.
That's a real eye-opener when that happens.
Yes.
My mom was in that predicament. We knew it was coming, but it still was kind of a rude awakening that the clock's ticking. She gets so much rehab, and then they say, no, she's reached her limit. She still needs it. We're not going to do any more. And now the meter's running, and it's $1,500 a day to stay here, that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And you're right. It is a shock to families. And the reason it's a shock is because we haven't been having the conversations. And so that's really what my heart is to bring the issues to listeners, that we can have the conversation and start thinking about these issues so that it's not a shock, so that we're actually prepared, so that if we hit this journey of walking down that 75% of us, when you reach 65 or older, will need some type of care.
Yeah.
They will need some sort of family assistance, long-term care assistance, or someone to step in next to them. So this is a huge societal issue. And I mentioned some statistics that right now about 16% of our population is 65 or older. In the next 15 years, that's going to become almost 25% of our population.
Wow.
So this is becoming a bigger and bigger issue that we need to hit head on. And so what are some of the options then? We can either self-insure. Okay, so that means that we have sufficient financial wherewithal that we can pay for our own long-term care.
So, and what percentage of the society is in that particular blessing, do you think?
Yeah, I wish I had that, but I really
not
don't.
Much.
I don't have those numbers, but I agree with you. I'd be highly surprised if that number is 50% or more. And so the voice that right now that is speaking to you is that 50% are probably not self-sufficient in this area of care.
Mm-hmm.
So this gap is a big deal. And maybe your parents are, maybe you're concerned about your parents being in that position. So we need to have the conversation, get educated of what our options are. So self-funding means that you have enough financial wherewithal. I can just pay for everything. I can continue to write the checks, and it almost doesn't matter. If I spent the next 5 to 10 years in a long-term care facility or needed assistance, I've got the finances to keep writing the checks, and my family will never have to worry.
And we've determined that the average facility is $10,000 to $15,000 a month, probably.
Specifically when you get into memory care. Mm-hmm. And so they probably start someplace around the $6,000 range. Mm-hmm. But as your needs grow and as you need more assistance, that bill just keeps clicking up.
Adult family home is an option too, and that's
absolutely
around $4,000 to $5,000 too.
Yeah. It can be, mm-hmm. and so, but those may have limitations based upon the family who they're bringing in. You still may need to pay for nurses to come in, and so the bottom line is: do you have enough money that you never have to worry about this?
Mm.
Most of us in society are not at that place.
Right.
So then we need to talk about another issue or another gap that can help us in that predicament. So another one, which we talked about with Mark in the past couple of weeks, is what does it mean to have insurance? So insurance is a great opportunity to fill that gap. Insurance, though, is only a buffer. It doesn't fully pay for everything. So it doesn't mean that just because you have long-term care insurance that now you are fully set. It only acts as a buffer, like I said, so that you're getting a little bit of the income, but then usually there is going to have to be family involvement, or you're going to have enough money in order to fill the extra. So most insurances pay between $3,000 and $6,000 a month. But we just said that care often starts at six and can escalate up to 10 and 15.
Right.
So the insurance isn't intended to be the entire amount that you need if you are going to face long-term care or assistance on a daily level. It is intended to only be a portion of what you're receiving. Now, it's a great portion because it comes to you tax-free. So if the insurance that I'm getting is about $5,000 on a monthly basis, then if I had a retirement, an IRA fund, that I actually had to pull that $5,000 out, the average individual is going to need to actually take $6,500 or between that and $7,000, because you have to pay the taxes just to get the $5,000 of usable money.
Yeah.
Where the insurance is coming to you and the government says, it's okay, we want you to use that, we're not going to tax it, it's not income to you. So there are extraordinary benefits and a lot of peace of mind. And when your children or those who are going to be taking care of you have access to tax-free money, it allows greater opportunity to make a decision that's in your best interest.
So you then think that long-term care insurance is a good investment?
It can be a very, very good investment for the right individuals. Now, to say that it's a good investment for across the board would not be an accurate statement. Okay. So I can't make that type of a broad statement because it depends on the individual. It depends on their financial structure. It depends on their family structure. So to say that it's a one-size-fit-all is not going to be coming out of my mouth.
Okay.
It is a individual. We need to look at your full finances and what you have in place or what you don't have in place. So it is a great option for many individuals. However, one of the downsides is that it is rather expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
And so long-term care policies, they often start at a reasonable price, and then there are escalation clauses. So by the time you're ready to use it, there can be a rather high premium to keep them in effect.
Mm-hmm.
So that leaves us with, if I can't qualify for long-term care, if I can't afford long-term care, and I don't have the financial wherewithal, then where am I at? And that comes back to the family plan. Or it comes back to us planning before we have to lean upon the family. And so when we come back from break, what I'd like to start talking about is, how does estate planning actually become this next opportunity? An opportunity that if we sit down and we look at your estate and we actually have the conversation, that we can prepare a plan that will allow us to be secure that that our Medicaid, our Medicare, and all of our finances are going to be used properly for the individual that they're intended.
Interesting discussion this week about Medicare and preparing for the future with your family. The Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant. People are intrigued. They want to know about your services. How do they get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, then go to our website at legacyandfaith.com. You can write us an email. Let me know how I'm doing. Ask questions. All of our podcasts are there, as well as some upcoming educational classes.
Okay, back with more of the show here in just a moment.
Are you aware that most estate plans don't work? Hi, this is Paul Grant, the host of the Legacy and Faith Show on KCIS AM 630. If you are considering creating your own estate plan and don't know where to start, or would like to know why most estate plans don't work, I invite you to attend an educational session on the truth about estate planning on Monday, June 11th from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can register at legacyandfaith.com in the events tab. And good news, you can attend in person at our Linwood office, or you can now attend online via live streaming. Many listeners have desired to join our educational program from around the Pacific Northwest, and now you can do so without traveling. So head over to legacyandfaith.com and register for the Truth About Estate Planning on Monday, June 11th at 6:30. That's legacyandfaith.com, where you can also download podcasts from our previous episodes and the Legacy and Faith Show.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
Planning with Purpose, the law offices of Paul Grant, is accepting applications for a part-time office assistant and is always seeking highly motivated and exceptional attorneys. If you're interested in joining a team that seeks to serve families, then go to legacyandfaith.com and use the website's email option to express your interest.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. And continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Legacy and Faith Show, co-hosting Mark Holland once again this week with Paul Grant. Paul, interesting discussion this week about Medicare and long-term care insurance. What about people who are unable to support themselves, don't have a long-term policy? Then what? What are their options?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of their options are reactionary instead of being preemptive. And so what we find is that individuals are coming to attorneys when they're in the middle of a health crisis.
Right.
And then we're trying to create a system that will help preserve the estate and with whatever we can and the tools in front of us. But let me tell you something. That is the most expensive check you're going to write to an attorney. Mm-hmm. Almost. I mean, other than some very high net worth tax planning, that is one of the most expensive checks you're ever going to write. Is if you are in the middle of a health crisis and you have not determined what you are going to do, the attorney is going to have a very good day. So now, I want you to hear that very clearly, because what I am hoping is that we get people long before those checks have to be written. So you have an attorney who could make money telling you, please prepare, because it is far cheaper than it is if you come to me when you have no plan at all. So in addition, the stress on the family when there is no plan is really the big deal. I mean, who cares if you have to write me a check? But the stress on the family is going to just really be high. So let's talk about what happens. At that time, if we're going to be doing some emergency planning, so then what the tricks are is that if you're married, we have a few more options. But if you're single, most people are familiar with it. You actually have to do what's called a spend down. And spend down means that you need to actually utilize all of your assets except for a house and one car. Okay, so those are kind of exempt items right out of the gate that you need to spend all of your savings and all of your income.
All your IRAs, all that stuff.
Even IRAs, mm-hmm. which surprises people, but this is for retirement. Yep, you're now in retirement and you now need it. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to suffer huge tax consequences because that money has never been taxed before. So it all goes on to your income tax. Mm. So it is a pricey position to be in if you haven't prepared. So the spend down means we have to spend everything down to $2,000. So you, in essence, have to spend everything you have to $2,000 before Medicaid will actually step in. Now, there's other things that we can do, such as we can start gifting your assets. So in an emergency situation, we start looking at your assets and we start rearranging the puzzle. And we start giving some to Joe Jr. We start giving some to your daughter, Susie.
Now, I thought you weren't able to do that or whatever, that they look back on your records and say, you can't give away everything.
Well, and that is accurate. Yeah. So it's called the 5-year look back rule.
Right, right.
And so if you give anything away, and unfortunately, that includes your charitable giving. So if you're a tither out there, which I encourage you to be a tither, that would include anything you've given to churches, which is just highly offensive. But that's the rule. And so for the past 5 years, we will look back and the government will say, what have you given away? Because since you gave it away, now you don't have it to use and you're going to rely upon us. And so the government steps in and goes, we're not going to deem that as a fair transaction.
Well, so
to
what
society.
Happens? Do they throw you in jail or something, or give you, or say, sorry, we're not going to give you any aid, or what? What are the consequences?
So the consequences, if you have given things away within the 5 years, is that it just comes back to your ledger. So let's say, over the past 3 years, I have given $10,000 to my church. Okay, and now I have $50,000 left in a savings account. So let's make it really easy. The government is going to say, well, you already gave the $10,000, but we're going to treat you as if you have 60. And so instead of us running our calculations based upon $50,000, we're going to run our calculations based upon 60 because you gave the $10,000 away. So it's just a mathematical equation that says we're going to pretend that that's still in your checking account. Mm. And so now you have to tell us what you have plus what you gave away. Now, in this time, there's a fancy formula that says if you need to apply for assistance, then we're going to put how much you have and how much you've given away into this formula, and it's going to calculate how long you will be, quote unquote, disqualified.
Mm.
Okay, so typically this is what where emergency planning is going to do, is that we are going to start devising, whether it's through trust or whether it's just simply handing things over to the kids, we're going to then utilize that formula to say, well, if we give money away, if we take it from your hands to the hands of somebody else, that is going to disqualify you for a period of time before Medicaid comes
into
the rescue.
What does that mean by disqualify? So what happens then? So you're what, a homeless person then until you can get your Medicaid, or
well,
what? I mean,
yeah. So these are the problems that we're facing. Mm-hmm. Is so yes, the disqualification period means that you have to have a family plan that assists you. So the kids can't start paying the bills because as soon as they start paying the bills, that's income. So it is a huge trick. Mm. And that's why this is so expensive, is because there are so many rules to follow. There's so many individual factors that if we are in an emergency Medicaid process, in other words, someone is now in long-term care and the family is writing the $10,000 checks and money is flying out the window and they come to us and say, what can we do? It is expensive for the attorney. It's expensive on the family. And we are highly limited at what we can do. So the whole discussion then, Mark, needs to be that we are planning. We are having the discussions long before we get to this place. In other words, it is a rock and a hard spot. Mm. There are things we can do, but they're okay. Not fun.
Okay, well, you need to show us a better way.
Yes, that's exactly correct.
We don't have a ton of time left in this show, but give us a few pointers then to get the ball rolling towards the good.
So the system that we really want to implore is having a discussion before we ever reach this place. We don't want to live in an aspect of fear. As a matter of fact, I pulled out some scriptures a couple shows ago because this conversation can really elicit a spirit of fear, and mm-hmm. that is not our intent.
Right.
That is not our desire. We serve an amazing, glorious God who is full of peace. And so, just as a reminder, we need to start there. So, in preparation then, I've said it over and over, and I'm a little bit of a broken record, but I'm going to say it again. We have to be prepared. We have to have the conversation. Somehow, some way, we need to get listeners out of the woodwork and bring them to the table and start having the discussion of what does it mean to start an individual plan for you and your family, whether you're single or whether you're married. So step one is that you need to find an attorney that you know, like, and trust. And there are solutions that we can do that are far more flexible. So even if you're not self-funding, even if we can't afford or long-term care may not be the appropriate tool for you, mm-hmm. we need to do something. Now, a lot of times what we will begin to move into individuals towards is a Medicaid trust. Now, Medicaid trusts can work with preparation. Number one, we have to beat that five-year look-back rule. So a lot of times attorneys will start a trust. It's an irrevocable trust. In other words, it can't be changed and you can no longer be in control of it. It must be a gift. So it has to be something that you release to someone that is in charge of that trust. So that's scary in and of itself, is it not?
Yeah.
Because everything that we do starts with the definition of estate planning, which is I want to be in control of my assets. That's the first part of the estate planning definition that I use in my firm. And this type of planning offends that general rule. Okay. It offends that I want to be in control. But yet, a Medicaid trust that most attorneys will create is irrevocable. And it means you have to permanently give control away from the asset. So because it offends my definition, I actually don't like to implore that type of planning. But since we're running out of time, darn it, all these things seem to move so darn fast with us, Mark, that we're going to have to kind of come back next week, have one more show about this topic of what do we do so that we don't have to lose control, but we can be prepared to make sure we have an estate plan that is ready for this type of scenario, which is you need assistance. And now what happens?
All kinds of options if you make a plan.
That's right.
Estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant is emphasizing that this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. People are intrigued, Paul. They need some help. They need a plan. How do they get in touch with you?
Come over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. We have podcasts. You can reach out by email. And we also have educational seminars, one coming up in early June. And so would love to meet you and have that discussion about what is right for you and your family.
Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax planning attorney Paul Grant here on KCIS.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.